Boy Scout Troop 80 for being here. Thanks for the hospitality of so many people in this community who are with us today, particularly the daughters of the War of 1812, who are so well represented here and be a part of our ceremony. In fact, the Jonathan Jennings chapter is represented here. We could give them a round of applause. Thank you for what you do to keep our history alive. Harry Hammack has been mentioned, who leads the 2016 Bicentennial Commission, and also we have two outstanding members of the Indiana General Assembly who are with us today, Senator Jim Smith and Representative Rhonda Rhodes, who have been so supportive of this wonderful celebration of our 200th anniversary. Give them both a great round of applause as well. And I am delighted to be joined by the First Lady of Indiana, our Bicentennial Commission's ambassador. She has poured her heart and her soul over the last 3 years into this effort and just does a wonderful job. I was a little startled when Jim introduced her as Miss Karen Pence. So let me assure all of the media present that we are married 31 years this month, and the greatest blessing. Greatest blessing of my life. So thank you, dear, for all you're doing. It is such an important time in the life of our state. I'm someone who truly believes in that old proverb that says that it's important to remember the rock from which you were hewn and the ditch from which you were dug. We cannot know where we can go as a people if we don't know from whence we have come. We can't imagine how far we can go in our third century without reflecting on how far we have come in our first two centuries. And today here, and later today in Corydon, at our original state capital, we're celebrating a moment in the life of the state, here in the person and in the life of our very first governor. And later at our state capital, we'll remember the founders who on this day, 200 years ago, signed the Constitution of the people of the state of Indiana. It is an enormously important historic today, and I think today we want to remember Governor Jennings and all of the founders whose courage and vision launched the greatest state in the greatest nation on earth. Today we'll have a ceremony beginning here and ending in Corydon that will mark the moment that the 43 delegates to the 1816 Constitutional Convention established the framework for our state that would become the 19th star in Old Glory. And as I mentioned, it was on this day, June 29th, 200 years ago, that those delegates signed our first Constitution, some 30 miles from here. And we look forward to a few moments. All of you are invited to come up and join us. In fact, the Constitution of 1816... we will carry out of the state capitol as well as our second constitution. And it will be the first time the Constitution of 1816 has returned to Corydon since 1825, when it was transferred to our state capitol in the new capital of Indianapolis. So it's a very humbling thing for me. You know, I went to school just down the road at Hanover College, and I got a degree in history. And so I can just tell you, I live for days like today. It's incredibly humbling for me to serve as the 50th governor of the state of Indiana during our bicentennial year. And days like today are such a privilege for me to be a part of. I can't even begin to express it. But to be able to stand here at the final resting place of our very first governor is also very humbling to me. And I want to talk a little bit about Governor Jonathan Jennings. Next time you're in the State House, stop by my office. You will see that I see his visage just about every day. His portrait hangs just to the right of the fireplace in the governor's office, where he's in the portrait of Governor Oliver P. Morton, who led Indiana with courage through our Civil War, and our territorial governor, William Henry Harrison, flanks him to his side. But the youthful face of Jonathan Jennings is one that I have embedded in my mind, and he looks over my shoulder each and every day. He lived an extraordinary life, born in New Jersey and raised in Pennsylvania, but as I like to say, he moved to the Indiana Territory as soon as he heard about it. He moved actually to Jeffersonville in 1806. He studied law. He started practicing law in 1807. He would move to Vincennes, Indiana, and moved to Charlestown in 1809. It was here he would be elected as a delegate to the Congress, and he represented, as I had the privilege to do for 12 years, Jonathan Jennings represented our territory at the time in the United States Congress. He served as a delegate there from 1809 to 1816, but it was in 1816, as a forceful voice for statehood during his tenure in the Congress, that he would be tapped to serve as the president of the State Constitutional Convention. And it's really about that moment that we gather here today and we remember him today. He was an advocate for Indiana statehood like no other. In fact, I sometimes, when I'm giving tours of the office, I'll mention the fact that he and William Henry Harrison had a bit of a disagreement about statehood in Indiana. And some of the historians in the crowd are smiling and nodding. Okay, it was more than a bit of a disagreement. Our territorial governor thought we need a little bit more time, but Jonathan Jennings brought all of his youthful energy to that and said, Indiana's ready. And Jonathan Jennings was right. Indiana was ready to be born in 1816. And we owe him a debt. We owe him a debt for driving it forward. He carried the Enabling Act, which was signed into law April 19, 1816 by President James Madison, that would allow the territory to become a state, quote, on an equal footing with the original states of this great nation. But what impresses me the most about Jonathan Jennings was, as one historian would refer to him as a young Hercules, literally lifting a territory almost on the shoulder of his vision to become the state that we know and love. He had long held the motto that that there should be, in his words, quote, no slavery in Indiana. And our state's original charter, minted on this day by the signatures of those 43 delegates, those 43 founders, made it clear we became the first state in the Union to prohibit slavery and involuntary servitude in our state constitution. And Jonathan Jennings' vision and leadership was responsible for that, something every Hoosier should be proud to reflect. Not only did our state constitution forbid slavery and involuntary servitude, it actually went on to put public education in our state charter. It's something really to reflect on and think about. The Constitution of 1816 established our state's commitment to public education, which lives on to today. I'm proud to say that the state of Indiana spends the largest portion of our state budget on education of any state in the United States of America. We continue to live out that priority of education that was minted in our first state charter. Indiana, in fact, was the first state to recognize a duty to provide free and open education to all of our citizens. Well, he would go on after being president of the Constitutional Convention. Not surprisingly, he would be elected as our first governor. He would actually serve the better part of two terms, which at that time were three-year terms at the outset. Our first governor, he actually resigned to run for a seat in Congress, which he won, and he held until the late 1820s. He was a man who literally lifted a territory to a place of statehood, and he did it on the basis of conviction and principle that really laid a foundation for the prosperity that the state of Indiana enjoys today. We're remembering Jonathan Jennings today, but also it's important to remember all of those that would sign our state constitution 200 years ago today. They were builders, they were farmers, they were people that carved a new state and carved a life out of some of the harshest and most difficult circumstances. It's always a source of pride to me also to reflect on the fact that it would be in the year 1816, after, with Jonathan Jennings' leadership, Indiana became the first state in America to ban slavery in our state charter, that a family in Kentucky with a 9-year-old boy that no longer wanted to live in a slave state loaded a barge, came across to Spencer County, and Abraham Lincoln and his family, his father Thomas, moved to Indiana to be a part of Jonathan Jennings' vision. That 9-year-old boy would go on to save the Union. And his example and his leadership and his character that was forged here in Indiana continues to inspire us to this day. I love what my predecessor, Otis Bowen, the late Otis Bowen, said memorably. He said, you know, Lincoln made Illinois, but Indiana made Lincoln. It was because of Jonathan Jennings and the vision of those founders that made Indiana the first state to ban slavery in our Constitution, that drew the Lincoln family here. It is one more source of pride and gratitude that we have for the life and service of our first governor. It is in the book of Samuel, there is a moment where when the king learned of the death of Abner, he spoke words that I think as we remember Jonathan Jennings today. He said, do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day? We stand in the final resting place of an individual who was a great man, who on the force of his character, his youthful energy, his vision, along with all of our founders, helped to pour a foundation of which we have benefited, all of us who go by the name Hoosier. And so I stand today to say the state of Indiana owes a debt of gratitude to our first governor and to all of those who had a vision that this home in the woods, this territory, could become a place of such extraordinary prosperity, a place of boundless opportunity, and a place that has become synonymous with everything that is good and strong about the heartland of this nation. So from the 50th governor and to the first governor, I say, Governor Jennings, well done. We are in your debt, and we will always remember. We will always remember. Governor, thank you so much. That was wonderful.